Good day, everyone, and welcome back to the Not Safe for Work Photography Podcast. Today, we are interviewing Leticia Beaufort-Rope. How are you doing today, Leticia?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm excited. Social media is going to... I'm terrible at social media, so this one's going to be very interesting for me. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. So, yeah, my name is Leticia. I come from France. I am at the moment based in Spain, and I started my training as an artist when I was 3 years old with ballet. Done that professionally until the age of 20, 21, and I stopped ballet and moved into circus. And I've performed all over the world as a circus artist. I specialized in aerial hoop and acrobatics. And then, yeah, I'm also a yoga teacher, a personal trainer, and a model, as you know.
That is so much stuff. So how long did you spend working in circuses? That's super interesting. I don't think I've heard that as a background yet.
For 17 years, I would say, I've performed in acrobatics. I'm also part of Cirque du Soleil as a special event artist, and I won multiple international circus competition. So, yeah.
So it sounds like pretty much all the work you've done has really been focused on making art with your body and the physicality of it.
That's right. So it started with ballet, mostly, all my childhood, and the beginning of my adulthood was ballet only. And then I added acrobatics to it, and then the yoga. And now I'm super happy that in my photography, I get to use all my skills to demonstrate all of that.
I assume that due to your background, a large part of the modeling you do is very focused in that physicality.
Yeah, that's right. Because the photographers are really interested in my ballet skills and my acrobatic skills. So that's most of the yoga part also. It's really interesting for the posing.
So how long have you been working as a model then? And are you still doing the other stuff, the ballet and the circus, or are you mostly focused on modeling and yoga now?
So now, exactly, actually, now we're in June and it's 3 years. I had my first professional photo shoot. It was a nude art shoot in Porto, Portugal with André Brito. And that was 3 years ago. And until the COVID, yes, I was still performing as an acrobat in Europe, but then my show closed down. So at the moment, I'm really focusing only on the modeling. And yes, I do still teach yoga, mainly online.
That makes sense. COVID certainly been difficult for a lot of people.
Yes.
How would you compare modeling to the difficulty and the physicality of working as a dancer and as a acrobat?
I would say it's different, but not performing is way harder than modeling physically.
I can imagine.
Either though, modeling is quite challenging physically when you do ballet and acrobatic photo shoots. But it's a different kind of, it's different because in photos you need to hold poses, maintain them for quite an extended time, where when you perform, you flow through poses. And it's more of a cardio, because a performance, like what I'm doing is like a marathon. It's like a 5 minute of really intensive strength and physicality, where the photo shoot it takes hours, and you have breaks, and it's just a different pace of work. So it impact the body differently.
Of course. So when we were arranging this interview, you said you specifically wanted to discuss social media, as that's a topic of specific interest for you. I noticed that you have a lot of avenues reaching out to followers, going from your Instagram to your link site. You have, you know, your website, you've got Facebook, you've got Telegram, you've got email, Twitter, Instagram. That's does each avenue represent a different part of your fan base?
Well, my main hub is Instagram. That's where I started my social media as a model. But I think it's great to be visible on every platform when it comes to branding. I mean, you need to just be everywhere, right? So you can reach more people, and that's my idea. So that's why I opened the Facebook account, and I opened the Twitter, so people could reach me, because not everybody's on Instagram. There are some people which like Facebook more, some people like Twitter more. So yeah, just to give the options.
I recently started moving the podcast onto YouTube because I heard on another podcast where they said that they'd originally assumed that they'd be cannibalizing their podcast followers if they were on YouTube, but they found they had a completely different audience on YouTube and it wasn't the same. So by moving to the new venue, rather than cannibalizing their existing followers, they just added on to it. Would you agree with that overall? Do you think for the models as well? I know that's true of podcasts, but...
Yeah, I mean, I do have a YouTube channel too, but I've done it more as a way for Google to find me, because it's good to be on YouTube for the algorithm of Google. But yeah, I mean, being on YouTube now, it's like a must, I guess. Everybody's there.
Yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned the Google algorithm as people finding you is definitely really important. I didn't write any questions down for this. So if you'd rather hold off on this and think about it for a little bit, we can. But do you have any advice for people trying to make sure that Google can find them?
Yeah, well, that's the first one, is just be everywhere. And just using the same name. It's really important. So like for me, it's Leticia Channel Model, Leticia Model. Like if you type that, I come up, all my accounts are coming up. It's really important to keep the branding, basically, because that's how you can be found everywhere. And then the hashtags are super important to be found on Google too. Yeah, and the tagging, because if people tag you, it also comes in the algorithm of Google.
Yeah.
To be findable, and then it comes on Pinterest, and it's all linked, right? So if you do it right, you're pretty easily findable, I'd say.
Yeah, no, I do remember. So I'm in the tech industry, as it seems like an awful lot of photographers are. And I do remember that Google uses kind of like reputation and how many people link you as ways of moving mm-hmm. you up or down in That's the right. search results.
That's right.
So that makes sense. If you're everywhere and then everywhere links to everywhere else, then that kind of builds up a little bit of a base for you for the algorithm.
Yes, it does.
All right. So you mentioned that out of all of those venues, Instagram is kind of your main hub. And then you opened up some other ones to both get the brand recognition out there and also for search engine optimization. Do you post differently to each one, or is it all kind of the same content across all of them?
I would say it's the same. Let's say I post every day on Instagram. So I'm using the same post after on every platform, but I rewrite the captions because Twitter, for example, has only 150 words or characters for captions, and I rewrite according to the platforms. So it fits also retagging the people properly on each social media, because like photographers, for example, don't have the same name of accounts on Facebook, then on Instagram, then on Twitter.
Yeah.
So to tag them properly, I kind of have to manually retype the captions.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, I'm using the same photo, but on Twitter, for example, because it's this kind of platform where you should, to be really active and work, you should post like every kind of 2 hours. On Twitter, I do extra posts. So I do about 4 per day, just to be properly active on Twitter.
That was actually going to be one of our later questions, but since you mentioned it, we can go ahead and jump up and do it right now. Is there an optimal amount of posting you should be doing? If you, I remember reading somewhere, I don't know if this is true or not, but I remember reading somewhere that on Instagram you should post daily to make sure that you're still being seen.
Yeah, I think like that. Like daily is amazing because it's a great consistency for your followers. They get to see you every day. And then if you're really consistent also with the time, they're used to see your post at a certain time. It's like I used to post in the mornings, and now I had people which were like, oh, every morning I'm waiting for your post, you know? So you build this, like, people are like waiting for it. So daily is great, but I think what is the most important on social media is consistency. And it doesn't matter which consistency. It can be every 2 days or every 3 days, once a week, but just be consistent at it. It's the key.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's ever since I read that post, I've been thinking about how to post more often without spamming people. Since the podcast only comes out every 2 weeks, I really only have new content every 2 weeks. And I don't want to create like a daily post being like, watch out for this in 14 days, watch out for this in 13 days. For models and photographers that, especially as hobbyists, maybe they're only producing work every month or something. Do you have any thoughts on what kind of content they could produce that won't be annoying? Do you go back to old shoots or?
No, I try to don't go back to old shoots. I never reposted the same photo twice. This is one of my rule.
Mm-hmm.
If I do go back in older sets, but if you don't have content, I think it's great to do, like, for example, keep the engagement in stories on Instagram. So keep a relationship, explaining what you're going to be working on your next shoot, or showing maybe how you're editing the photos if you're a photographer. I don't know, maybe as a model, speaking about what you were going to work on, or what you work on, how you're choosing photos, or like just keeping the connection with the followers in the stories. And the stories don't need to be as professional, let's say, as the posts, right, for you all. But yeah, just keeping the community engaged that you're there. That's what I would suggest.
That's funny. I was just thinking I should do a story of doing the podcast then, apparently, every time I start recording the podcast.
Yeah, or when you're like about to record, or you could do a live before, or anything. Like it's just so many tools with Instagram now, with Reels and the IGTV, and even now the guides are amazing. It's so many tools to use to market.
That's funny.
So it's not just the post as being a still photo. It's just a lot of, you can build up anticipation with a countdown in stories. You can do a poll asking people what they wish to hear about, and then they tell you yes or no. And then you know what interests your audience. Yeah, just keep the engagement, you know, the people that they watch you, they see you're doing something.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a good idea. I'll have to actually, you know, start paying attention to that stuff ahead of time. What's your overall business goal for social media? Are you currently trying to maximize your number of followers? Are you trying to maximize interaction? Are you using it as a vehicle for getting modeling work or other work? Or is your goal right now to start monetizing the followers you have?
My main goal, it's my overall goal is build a community. Because once you have a community, well, then you can think about converting. If people are not your, you don't have an interaction with your followers, you can't convert anything. So the overall goal is always building the community. The secondary goal, yes, it's to connect with photographers and get booked for shoots, of course. And the next one is to convert funds into followers into paid funds to my sites and monetizing.
And that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I imagine for all creators, kind of the end goal is monetizing, but I can imagine that, you know, first you have to build the audience. So people will be in different kind of stages of that. So it certainly makes sense.
Yeah, they need to know you. They need to understand what you're doing. They have to feel connected to you in some way before they get to monetize. I guess it's quite normal that you're not going to give money to someone you don't know and you don't understand what they're doing. So yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you automate your posting at all, or do you post manually each day to all these sites?
So I use an app to prepare my posts. I organize all the photos according to colors, to shoots, to locations, poses, and the variety between ballet, fitness, and yoga. I shuffle all my photos around and I prepare the wall. So I already know how my wall is going to look aesthetically. And I do prepare the captions too. So I'm usually about 2 to 3 weeks ahead. I have all my posts, which are pre-prepared. But I post manually because I want to be... my days are very variable according to shoots and travels and many, many different things. So I can't really predict at what time I would be available to be on my phone when the post is going. And the why is that the first hour when you're posting is the most important time. And if I'm posting, I'm on my phone for 1 hour, for the first hour. And I'm responding to every comment. Because that's the way how to have your post boosted and shown to more people.
Oh, interesting.
So yes, the more interaction your post has, so likes and comments and of course shares, but shares you can't really control. But basically by commenting back to your comments and say thank you or whatever people are saying there, you are boosting your own post because you're doubling the amount of comments.
Right.
And in the same time, you're actually building up a community because you're interacting with your followers. Because the ones which are commenting are the ones which are really interested in your work. So that's like a double, it's a double win. It's a win because you're boosting your post for Instagram and Instagram is showing the post to more of your audience. And second, you're building the community. So that's why I don't automate my posting. And I prefer to know like when that I'm going to be available for the next hour to take care about that post. Because if you don't get the engagement the first hour, your post is dead.
Right.
Your post is garbage.
Yeah, I have noticed some of my Twitter stuff. Because since Twitter shows you kind of front and center how much interaction it gets and how many people have seen it. Yeah, some of them are getting 2, 3, 4 times as much visibility as others. And yeah, that's probably timing and...
Well, Twitter algorithm is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about the retweets. So the more you get retweet, the more you have reach, and the more you get, yeah. But Instagram is really about the first hour.
That's interesting. All right.
Super important.
Yeah. Well, my social networks on everything right now are, you know, terrible. So I need to, when we were just talking about goals, my goal needs to be, I need to increase my total number of followers and my reach. All right. So the next question was going to be, how do you handle, you know, responses on your posts and instant messages? But it sounds like you already kind of answered the responses part. How do you handle instant messages on all these different social media platforms? It sounds like you have kind of dedicated time to handle it.
The DMs, you mean the private messages?
Yep. Sorry, I'm a little old. Back in my day, it was AOL and Instant Messenger. So
yeah, so on Instagram, they call them DM. The DMs, well, I go with the flow of the day. Like when I'm just going back to my account, I don't know, every hour or so, I just keep answering to all the messages I get. That's it.
Gotcha. I've seen some models post that they will only answer DMs that come through like Patreon or, you know, various subscription platforms. Is that something you've explored doing, or is the volume not too bad?
No, I have a very, of course, because of the amount of followers I have a very high volume of DMs. But I think if we come back to the idea of building a community, well, if you don't answer to people who start writing to you because they are actually sending you compliments about how amazing is your work, I find it really rude, to be honest, from models which are saying this, because those people are just being nice, and they're just saying, most of the time they're giving compliments when they reach in DM. So I don't understand why this person took how many, whatever, seconds to write this message. Well, I think it's just a polite thing to write back, thank you. It takes 2 seconds. And coming back to community, that's how you build a community. If you cannot say thank you to someone which gave you a compliment, how you expect this person to convert to a paid fan? I don't understand the models which are not answering their DM. Sorry. I find it so rude.
All right. That makes sense. Yeah. So your number of followers varies per platform. And as part of this makes sense. Like you mentioned that Instagram is your primary, and then you've kind of opened up in other places to try and make sure your name is out there everywhere. Do you find that some platforms get a more interactive followers or followers that are more willing to support you?
Basically, I would just add to that is I have opened the Twitter and the Facebook and everything else because of Instagram are closing so many accounts. Probably heard of that, especially when you have a bit more of a content which are a little bit more less close on. So the Twitter is really like my really backup. If something happens, I have still people to reach to. And then my Facebook is great. The people, like the fans there are like real, real fans. They would comment on every photo, doesn't matter what the photo is. They are like really supportive on Facebook. I think Facebook is a great place to be too.
Are there any community issues with Facebook, kind of like there are on Instagram, where if you're doing art nude stuff, you risk being removed?
Yeah, right. It's even more strict than Instagram. Actually, I had my Facebook closed last year, completely closed. And they didn't allow me to reopen an account for 3 months.
Wow.
I don't know, I've even tried with new email address, with new names, with new phone numbers. They knew my devices and they knew they tracked me and they knew it was me. So my like the account I have now, like the new Facebook page I have, is nothing. It's because I've just reopened it this year. I had a really big Facebook page prior to that, which they closed. And they closed my private account and they've closed everything. So I had to restart from scratch this year on Facebook.
That's really interesting to me because aren't you primarily an art nude model? Do you do fetish and other type of work?
No, I don't do fetish.
That's what I thought. It's weird that they would shut you down so hard and you do something that's pretty widely accepted as, you know, art.
And I don't censor my photos. So I only post implied nudes, but right. it's still nude. So it goes against the committee guidelines, as they say.
That would kind of make sense for the public Facebook page, but for the private group where people have to like click in to see you, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, no, the group is the same. I did get a few warnings already in the group.
I got a YouTube warning the other day. So when I put up the YouTube videos, I started linking to the various models' Instagram so that, you know, if somebody came and saw it, they could go there and follow the model. And I got warned and got a video removed because the Instagram was too much for YouTube. Like, it's Instagram. It's not.
It's hard. It's hard. Yeah. That's why I have opened the Telegram account.
So I'm not actually familiar with Telegram. How does Telegram differ?
Well, it's kind of like WhatsApp, but it's not owned by Facebook.
Gotcha.
Because WhatsApp is owned by Facebook. So Telegram is very open, and it's kind of like nobody's going to tell you what you can post or not on there. And you can build up also, you can open a group.
All right.
And people in a chat also. So people get to, I post on there and then my fans are like commenting or like chatting there too. So it's just a different way of building a community. And it's not, and just like Instagram, let's say, will only show your post to whatever, 1% to 10%, where in Telegram, it's like getting a text message. Well, you're on your phone, you read your text messages, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't get filtered. It gets to everybody.
That's interesting. Yeah, because that was when I was looking at it and I was talking about being an instant messenger application. I was wondering how you would replicate, you know, the posting, but that makes sense if you create a group and you invite followers into that group.
Yes, and then there is an additional chat to it. So,
gotcha. I may have to take a look at that. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Many models are doing this now, opening your Telegram channel.
Cool. Do you have any recommendations for models that are concerned about getting shut off of a platform? Are there things you can do to try and preserve your, like, can you export your contacts? Can you save the content somehow? What can you do to help protect yourself?
Well, the first thing I would say is open a backup account on Instagram, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have a backup account and make sure that kind of on a weekly basis, you tell your followers to go follow you there. So you keep, you know, your closest followers will go there to make sure to don't lose contact with you. Second, that's what I do is building an email list because having followers is great, but when they close your account, you have contact with nobody.
Yeah.
So building your email list is your business, is your people, and nobody can take this away. So that's like super important.
Yeah.
Because if they close you anywhere, you can email people and tell them, well, okay, sorry, that happened, but now I have opened a new account and you can go and follow me there. Where if they close your Instagram and you have no emails, then you're really stuck.
Yeah, I think that came up in the conversation. I retweeted a podcast the other day with Jack Conti from Patreon, where that was one of the things he mentioned is that Patreon allows you to collect email lists.
Yeah, this is amazing, where OnlyFans don't give you any emails.
Mm.
So
And on Instagram, you just have their handle, which is not helpful because they have to follow you. Like, you can't go through 85,000. Like, if your Instagram account's canceled, you can't go through and DM 85,000 people and say, here's my new Instagram account.
No, you can't. Because when you lose it, you lose it. You lose all your chat also.
And is there a way to, like, export your list of contacts at all?
Not that I heard of. Yeah. If someone knows.
So how do you treat... So it sounds like... So you're talking about creating a backup account, ask everybody to follow the backup account, of which, you know, your most devoted fans will follow the backup account. Then I assume you never post anything that's even remotely bad on the backup account. So your backup account is like semi-permanent.
Yeah. My backup account is I'm posting only dressed posts.
Right.
I be careful. I don't overuse it neither. I keep it active. So I post maybe twice a week or something like this, just to keep the algorithm working there too, that it's not a dead account. I'm really careful with that one. Don't use it.
And so I assume that if your main Instagram account was killed, then you would open up a brand new one and then use your backup account to direct everybody to the new one and then use the new one for your further posting.
I guess so. Yeah.
That hasn't happened yet.
Sounds like a plan, which I don't really want to happen, but
yeah. All right. That makes sense. I wonder what you have to do on Twitter to get kicked off of Twitter. Cause I see a lot of people being really, really explicit on Twitter.
Oh yeah. There is a lot of explicit content, and then there are some like medium explicit content, and then the accounts are closed, and it's just really strange.
All right. So how much time per day do you spend keeping up with social media?
Wow. I don't know. I know that I've checked on the Instagram. You have this, they tell you how much time you spend on the app in the settings. Somewhere around 3 hours, I think, a day I have on Instagram.
Right.
And then add Facebook and Twitter to that. Yeah, so roughly maybe 4 hours.
And do you get most of your work from social media, or do you like the photographers hiring you?
Yeah, Instagram is like where I'm getting 90% of my job requests.
Interesting.
That's 10% from Facebook. And,
so your purple port doesn't really do anything.
No.
Hmm.
It's good to be there because when I use PurpleReport when I'm traveling, and let's say I have like this one time slot where I'm like, I need another shoot, right? Like last slot available, then I do a casting on PurpleReport saying that I'm coming and I have my last slot available. And that's how I fill up my schedule, but that's it. I don't really get much from PurpleReport.
How do you make sure that photographers in the right, like, geographic area are finding you on Instagram?
Oh, I don't. They just find me. Just to be honest, that's how it goes. Yes, they
find me. Yeah, I've seen, you mentioned, you know, in some of them, like, you know, during my stay in Washington, D.C., but that's after the fact. I was just wondering if you announced it, or I do see that you have Spain, Germany, France, and I'm going to show my ignorance. What is CH?
CH China? It's Switzerland.
CH is Switzerland? That's interesting. Yes. I would not have guessed that.
Yeah.
So I knew Germany was Deutschland. And I knew Spain was España. I did not know that CH is Switzerland.
Yes.
So I do see that you do have that posted on your Instagram where you're going to be for traveling. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I have my traveling schedule on my website. And then I repost it in my Instagram stories and in my Facebook stories.
All right. One of the first things you see when you go to your website is asking you to sign up for an email list, which again goes back to what you're just talking about, trying to control your fans list. Do you get a lot of pickup on there?
Yeah, it worked quite good. I mean, the ones which sign up are the ones which are interested in my work and fun following it. So I'm not, it's for me, it's not really about the amount, it's about the quality of the people which sign up. So to have the ones which are really interested in what I do, that they sign up.
It just asked me again to sign up. I went over to the tour and event dates page and it popped up again saying subscribe to the TCS updates.
Sorry.
No worries, no worries. So yeah, all right. So I'm looking at your tour dates and yeah, you definitely have, you know, which date? Wow, you are all over the place. Right now you're in Spain. Tomorrow you're gonna be in Madrid. Just moving.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's good to be moving after being stuck home a lot.
Yeah.
So, using the opportunity, you never know now when what they're going to do.
And hopefully this Delta variant goes away soon enough, and we can hopefully get back to normal. All right, but we're not here to talk about touring, as interesting as that can be. Did you end up hiring anybody to create your website, or have you built it yourself?
No, I had somebody to build that. I had the concept in my mind, and then she helped me also with her ideas. And then we came up. Yeah, no, she did everything.
I mean, well, it looks like a lot of it could be done with a what you see, what you get editor, except
But
you've got an exclusive login place.
I'm doing all the updates. So I upload new photos, I change my schedule. I do that myself. But the building, the whole, like, no, she did all of it. And then
Well,
when I need
yeah.
to change something like bigger, like for example, this popping window which come for the email subscribing, well, then she does that for me when I need a bigger modifications.
Would you recommend that all models have a website so they can control their own kind of brand and email list?
Definitely. I mean, this should be your portfolio. Your website should be your portfolio, not your social media, not only your social media. Because like this, like I said, like you can wake up one morning and you have no Instagram. And actually having a website as a model makes you look, I think, more professional in the eyes of photographers. To you look legit, you look like you're doing your professional approach to your work. And I think you can organize your photos the way you want them to be shown, where on social media it's kind of random. It shows as it shows. So yeah.
I'm looking at your media page now. The Playboy shoot with the cello that's actually really, really brilliant.
Thank you.
Oh, this. So yeah, I'm looking at your media page now. So lots of publications, lots of opportunity to kind of show what you've done as well. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I noticed you also have a specific login form on your website for yet another kind of exclusive place. Do you find that overlaps with your Patreon fans, or is this a separate group of people?
It actually helps because there are cases when people don't want to open a Patreon account or an OnlyFans account, but they want to pay and they want to see more of my work. So that's an amazing extra tools I have where they can just do it through my website and they don't need to open any account.
Now, for some of the questions that everyone's been waiting for, how would you recommend to build a following on your social media platform of choice?
Well, I will come back to build a community, which means let's say you have 0 followers and okay, maybe you have one post on your page. Then I would go and follow people which you wish to be like. So let's say photographers which you admire their work, models which you like, Just start engaging with all those people and following them, liking their posts, commenting on their posts, and watching their stories so they see that you're watching them, and doing that a lot at the beginning. And then if you start posting, another way of building engagement at the beginning and building the community, it's to reach to every single person which liked or comment on your photo and start a conversation in DM. And yeah, that's the way after, because you start talking to them, they feel closer to you. They will keep commenting every time you're posting. So it's going to build the engagement and the algorithm of your account to be quite high. And then it just does the snowball effect. You know, if you have good content after, your photos can be reposted on those, I call them repost pages. And this does the snowball effect of finding new people, people following you, and but just building up the community basically of people of the niche you're in. Yeah.
Are there certain types of content that are more successful at generating interest?
You know, the nude content always kind of works, especially if it's a backside photo. Usually post where you ask a question. So for example, in photography, asking, do you prefer photo number 1, 2, 3, 4, or do you prefer color or black and white? Or help, you know, just building, asking a question in your caption. So you have an engagement, but a constructive engagement in your comments. So opening a conversation about, tell me why you like this photo, not just, so it's really nice. I like to get, you get the really great feedback. Sometimes people have different point of view about why they like a photo. And yeah, it's just another way to build the relationship.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned the posting multiple and asking. I just saw Poppy Seed do that this morning, I think, where she posted 7 and asked people which one they like the best.
Yeah, because at the moment there is also the Instagram is boosting the algorithm if you're doing a multiple post. So they call them carousel. So if you you post more than 3 photos in one post, they're boosting this kind of post. Also, even if you liked that post, it will show again in your feed with another photo from that post. So at the end, you reach way more people because this post is keep coming in your feed until you didn't like look at all the photos of the feed of the post. Carousel at the moment and Reels are like the two things Instagram are prioritizing in terms of algorithm.
So they're the latest things that have been released. So pushing that.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, I had a bunch more questions, but we're not going to get to those, sadly. Let's hit on that one question I talked about before. So talking on the subject of monetizing your fans and subscribers, there's a common kind of assumption going around creator media that around 1% of your fans will convert to paying supporters. Do you think that's an accurate assumption?
I think it's wrong. It's way lower than that. Would be great if it would be, but that's not the reality.
Yeah. Oh, and I imagine, like you mentioned earlier, like your Instagram is a fairly easy place for people to just follow an endless stream of creators. But you mentioned that the people in your Facebook group were a lot more active. Would something like Facebook or Twitter be a better kind of measure than your Instagram followers?
I think my paid fans are a accumulation of every social media. They're not really like just on a particular platform. They are a little bit from everywhere. So I'm not sure how to count that.
That's fair. All right. I see you also do some social media consulting. Who normally hires you?
Models. Yeah. Aspiring models. Models which are starting, which they have a lot of questions about the industry overall, also about how to handle photographers, how to manage, how to book shoots, how to build up a following on for social media, and how to monetize their followers. So that's what I help them with. I did help a few photographers which reached to me, but I did it, you know, just as a friend. I gave them tips a little bit, try this, try that. but mainly models.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate that, I mean, it's good in some ways that social media is so important because it allows you to reach so much of a wider group of people than you could reach, you know, 20 or 30 or 500 years ago. But it's also kind of unfortunate that we're all forced to let these platforms basically and sometimes dictate, you know, your livelihood.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I guess it's part of our world right now. It's like if you're not on social media, it's kind of like you don't exist a little bit. But it is what it is.
So I assume you're currently taking on new clients for the social media consulting and people should reach out to you if they want to know more?
Sure.
You're not going to say no. You're not going to say no. Don't reach out.
Yeah, to me. I'm really like, I enjoy marketing. I enjoy all of this, sharing my tips and helping people. Yeah. So definitely.
All right. Well, we are unfortunately just about out of time. We've got one last question here. What is your favorite photo in your portfolio?
It's a photo by Kai York. Is the photo I have used for the cover of my book, Phil. I don't know if you can understand which photo it is, but I'm like frontal and in a grand plié position with closed eyes. It's a color photo.
Hold on, I'm bringing it up. The book Phil. Oh, I see. That was also used. That was on the media page as well. It was used as a cover for something else.
Right. It has, because when I've launched the book, my book has been featured with an interview in a magazine, and it made it to the cover.
That makes sense then. Yeah, because that's really interesting. I know we're almost out of time, and I apologize. But what was making this book like?
It was great. It was amazing. I did it last year during the lockdown. Mm-hmm. It was something I just loved that shoot so much. Then the photos of that shoot that I was like, this needs to be, it needs to be in paper form. It needs to be printed. I spoke with Guy and then we were like, okay, let's do the book. And it was a success. We sold all the book in a month. And
wow,
it's great.
So are you guys going to reprint it? I see that, like you said, you sold out of it. It's showing is out of stock.
Yeah, well, we can't technically because we sold it as a limited edition.
Oh,
and a numbered, it was a numbered and signed edition. So, to be fair to the people which got it,
right,
we can't reprint this exact book. We can't.
That makes sense.
But we are looking at doing the part two of it. So
gotcha. All right. Now we really are out of time. So Leticia, where can everyone find you online?
Yeah. So on my website, leticiamodel.com. That's my main hub where you will find everything, anything, any updates, everything is there. And then daily, the best is to follow me on Instagram, Leticia_channel_model. A lot of stories and daily posts.
As you mentioned before. Do you have any ongoing projects you'd like to mention?
So yeah, one is the part two of Phil. And then the second one is my book with André Brédeau. So the first photographer I worked with, which got me into photography. We are gathering all the shoots we did, which are 5, and putting that into a book. It's gonna be an exciting project too.
Yeah, I love the idea of putting together like a cohesive book with just, you know, one model and one photographer, or heck, actually it might be interesting to do one model and a bunch of different photographers and kind of see how they all, anyways, yeah, that sounds super exciting. All right. And with that, we are done. Check us out at the NSFW Photography Podcast.com, on Twitter as @NSFW Photography. At the NSFW Photography Podcast, and subscribe at your favorite podcast app. Keep making art, keep sharing art, and have a great week.